Quite a few years ago now, when I first wrote this Holiday Club book, Cops and Robbers, I was invited by the Church of Ireland over to Dublin to a youth conference. And they said, what we do, because lots of the churches of Ireland were all using my Holiday Club material, which was very exciting. And they said, we gather all the young leaders, the junior leaders, all come together for a conference. And we'd like you to go through the material with them. So they really get hold of the material. So it was a real privilege to go. But they did warn me. They said a lot of these young people, they've come through Holiday Clubs. They're not necessarily from church homes. They're very much searching, and many of them have got very difficult home situations and difficult lives. And so this could be quite a tough weekend. It was. Partly because I was from Birmingham and they were from Dublin, so I didn't understand a word they said and they didn't understand a word I said. But it was quite a tough weekend, and I remember thinking at the time, actually, what a fantastic story this Joseph story is for all people in all situations, isn't it? Because I said to these young people, I started by saying, who do you think God is for? Who do you think church is for? Do you think church, Christianity, is for just respectable people? Is it for, middle-class people, people who've got everything going well for them in life? Is that what God and church is for? Or I said, do you think that's the case? And then I said, I want to share with you a story in the Bible I don't know what your family's like, but about a family who are so dysfunctional, so screwed up in many ways. And yes, it was the Joseph story. You couldn't find, in one sense, a worse story. It started with Dad many years before. Jacob had arrived in this land where he didn't know anyone. And then he sees this Rachel. He falls in love with Rachel. And he goes up to his Rachel's dad and says, hey, I really want to marry your daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, of course you can, if you work for me for 7 years. I actually said to the young people on that occasion, I said, have we got a Rachel here? And they all started to giggle and said, yes, that's a Rachel. And I said, and has she got a boyfriend here? And they all went, yes. And I said, is he here? And he waved and I said, so would you be prepared to work for Rachel for 7 years? And he said, on your bike, no way, in an Irish accent. There's no way. And she just burst out laughing, said, of course he wouldn't. And yet, yes, Jacob was prepared to work for 7 years. And finally, the wedding day came, and the bride was wearing a veil. And that night, I'm sure Jacob was very excited as he removed his veil, removed the veil to discover he'd married the oldest sister, Leah. I didn't want to marry you. I wanted to marry Rachel. Tough, you got me. Ha! Can you imagine the disappointment? And Jacob goes back to the dad saying, what have you done to me? I married the wrong woman. Why did you treat me like this? You can marry Rachel as long as you're prepared to work for me for another 7 years. So I then said to this guy, so you wouldn't be prepared to work for this Rachel for 14 years then? No, why? And yet, once again, Jacob is prepared to do that. And then the story, Leah, his first wife, has lots of sons, but whereas Rachel, the one who he truly loves, she's unable to have children for many, many years until eventually she has Joseph. So now maybe you're understanding why Joseph was spoilt. Joseph was number 11. He was child number 11 in this family. And then sadly, Rachel had another son, Benjamin, but Rachel died in childbirth. So those two children of Rachel were very, very precious to Jacob. That's why Jacob spoiled. That's why Jacob made mistakes. That's why Jacob had favorites. That's why the boys, the other sons, got angry and bitter, especially when he started to have these dreams now. So do you understand this story? And do you understand that actually God chose to work through this broken, messed up family? Isn't that fantastic? No response. Maybe you're smiling under your mask, but isn't that fantastic that God isn't looking for the perfect person, the perfect family? God works for every single one of us, even when we let him down and mess up. Joseph is taken into slavery, and if I was Joseph, I would be feeling bitter and angry and frustrated. What a big letdown. What a backward step. Here, one minute he's a spoilt boy, the next minute he's being dragged away as a slave, being bought like an animal at the market. And yet, in what could have been a bitter time, it says, as a slave, it says in those verses, let me see if I can find the verses quickly. I'm not very good at following notes. I always could never find where I am. Yeah. Anyway, it says somewhere, it says in 39, verse 1 and 2, it says, Genesis 39, verse 1 and 2, that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. As a slave, the Lord was with him. And even his slave master, Potiphar, realized. This Egyptian slave master says, the Lord is with you. So he recognized it. So can you see how, rather than, and I just think this story is so appropriate for us, because we have lost our freedom in many ways, haven't we? We've lost our normal life. Our freedom has gone. And we could be like Joseph. We could have gone into bitterness. We could be feeling sorry for ourselves, hiding away. But Joseph wasn't like that. Yes, I'm sure he was scared, anxious about the future. Of course he was, just like we are. And yet he put his hope and his faith in God. You know, we all go through tough times. We really do. And you can easily fall away. Or you can say, actually, everything's just falling from under my feet. So I can either fall down with it, or I can put my hope in the rock in the storm, in the light, and follow the light. Keep following the light in your situation. So, you know, in my work, I've lost so much work. I've had no paid work this year. And it's been a really tough year. Every event was being cancelled one after another. And it's very, very disheartening after you spent years building up a ministry, if you like, or a self-employed person to see everything just crumbling away and other things were going on at the same time. It's been a really tough time, a really tough time. And yet I knew the only hope was to hang on to God in this situation, to keep close as possible. And God was with him so that the master noticed. Isn't that tremendous? God was with him and the master noticed, Potiphar noticed. So Joseph was shining despite everything. He was shining his light. But of course, Joseph was a handsome man. He was a handsome young man, just like Andrew Martin, a handsome young man. Yeah, right. Okay. And he was noticed. He was noticed. And Potiphar's wife, probably, you know, she's got all these slaves around to do all her work. So she's probably a very bored housewife. She's got nothing to do. And she just takes a shining to Joseph. He's this happy, hard-working, good-looking guy. So she's after him. But once again, Joseph could have been tempted in that situation. Here he is, away from everything, no freedom. And this woman's approaching him. He could have been tempted to have a good time with her. Can't think of the right word. But he didn't. He resisted temptation. He said, look, why are you doing this to me? Your husband, Potiphar, has given me so much, but he has not given me you. And I respect my master. I am going to work for my master. I'm going to do the job that I've been called to do, and that does not include you. And she became more and more angry. And I'm sure you know the story. She took the coat and then accused him. He was falsely accused. Falsely accused. And now Potiphar was in this horrendous situation. Does he trust his wife, believe his wife, or does he believe Joseph? And of course, Joseph, at the end of the day, however good he was just a slave. So he was bitterly disappointed with Joseph, even though Joseph was totally innocent. Joseph was taken and thrown into jail. What a setback. We're going through this, aren't we? It all looks like everything's going well for us. You know, the virus seems to be going down, less and less cases are happening, and we're gradually getting back into our normal life, our normal routine, and suddenly we have this horrendous setback. Winter's arrived, and once again, our futures are uncertain. I sometimes wonder the next time I'm going to actually see somebody. It's like that, and I know there's lots of people in the same boat, lots of lonely people, lots of people struggling with work, and sadly, even people dying with this horrendous disease, this horrendous virus. I mean, it's a hard time, isn't it? But for Joseph, you know, as a youngster, he was shunned by his brothers. He was turned away, rejected. Now he's a slave. Everything was looking up, and now he's all gone down again. He's a terrible setback again, and he ends up in prison. Once again, he could have been sulking up the corner saying, why, God? Why is it whenever I try and serve you, everything's going bad? Everything's going wrong. And we're like that. Surely you've had times where you're shouting at God, saying, God, I need to see someone. I need to have a meal with someone. I need to just have a conversation, not just a like on Facebook, but actually people. And yet instead we find ourselves in lockdown, in prison. Go to jail. And that's where Joseph was. But once again, he could have just been in his misery, sinking deeper and deeper into depression. But instead, once again, it says in the Bible in verse 21, chapter 39 or 41 or the other, that the Lord was with him in prison. Isn't that tremendous? So the Lord was with him as a boy because he gave him the dreams. The Lord was with him as a slave in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with him in prison. The Lord is with us in lockdown. The Lord is with us in lockdown. You know, I've just done a holiday club, and the children are far more exciting and enthusiastic. I say something amazing, and you go, the Lord is with us. Amen. Yes. I think it is great because everything else seems to be falling away. Our foundations are crumbling beneath us. But the Lord is with us. And the warden of the prison noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph became, once again, the head of the jail. So once again, although he's in this horrendous situation, he's serving the Lord. He's become a light in this dark situation. He's become a light. He's serving others. I think this is, I just love Joseph. He is my inspiration. He is my inspiration. Everything that could have gone wrong, all these setbacks, and yet he keeps getting up. He keeps getting up and shining, and people are noticing. And then, you know the story, it's a long story, so I have to watch my time. I could carry on with this for 5 episodes of Holiday Club, so you're all getting worried now, aren't you? You're thinking dinner's going to burn. But hey, I'm going to have to cut a long story short. But we had the story read to us, the Pharaoh's two best, the butler, the cupbearer, and the wine taster and the baker ended up, they upset Pharaoh and ended up in jail too. Now, they've just arrived. And yet, Joseph, who's been there for such a long time, is asked to look after them. If I was being Joseph, I might have said something like this. Hang on a minute. Yeah, they've only just arrived. I'm the guy who needs looking after. I've been here a long time. But instead, without any hesitation, he is serving others. Isn't that tremendous? Although he is suffering himself, he is serving others. I think it's amazing. And Joseph, and the one night, you heard the story, they both, cupbearer and the baker, they both have dreams, and they're both in the morning looking really worried, really scared, really anxious. And Joseph says, hey guys, why are you looking so down? What's wrong? And they said, well, we both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret our dreams. And then once again, do you notice how Joseph points them to God? He points them to God. He says, well, of course, no one can interpret dreams apart from God. Only God can interpret dreams. I wonder how often in our situations we've been able to share God. When I was in, look, it's close here, when we went out into the streets and we started to sing songs, and I was leading songs on the guitar, and they weren't Christian songs, lots of neighbours all came out into the street, and it was just singing all kinds of fun songs, creative songs, and I did this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I said, this is a church song, and we also did Amazing Grace, because it was an opportunity just to be able to, in a simple way, without preaching at my neighbours, just be able to share a little bit of God's grace with them. So taking those opportunities, and I am part of an organisation called Counties, and Counties have set up something called, Neighbourhood Chaplains, and the whole idea is that you serve your neighbours in different ways, and they've set up training for that. And even during lockdown, they're finding ways of serving those in need, which is tremendous, and that's exactly what Joseph was doing. But he was also not only serving them, he was also pointing them to God. And then, you know the story, maybe you don't. I work in schools where children do not know these stories. But Joseph, God gave the interpretation to the dream. And sadly for the baker, it was bad news, really bad news. But for the wine taster, it was good news. And he was called to serve the king, to serve Pharaoh again. And Joseph said, please, please, please remember me. Remember me to Pharaoh. I don't deserve to be here. I want my freedom. I want my life back. So he was struggling in this situation. There's no doubt about it. He wanted freedom like we've got. And the cupbearer said, definitely. Of course, you're a good man. Bless you, Joseph. Bless you. I will remember you. I will share this with the king. Of course I will. No, he didn't. He was forgotten. Joseph was forgotten. So on top of everything else, he was forgotten. Are you feeling forgotten during this lockdown? I do sometimes. I feel forgotten. I'm sure many of us do. And he was forgotten. So Another setback, horrendous setback. I haven't got time to go into the whole story, but the king has a dream, and suddenly, hey, 2 years later, we're moaning about 9 months, but this has been going on for Joseph for years and years. And of course, we've got every right to moan about these 9 months. They've been really, really tough, and they continue to be. But Joseph is able to interpret the king's dream, and suddenly Joseph is vindicated. He becomes the second most important man in the whole of the nation, saving, interpreting the dream and saving the Egyptian nation. And then, you know, I keep saying you know the story, so I'm assuming you do because our time is beating us and we haven't got time to go into any more. But Joseph then eventually is able to meet with his brothers, and although it's really hard for him, that's restored too. Isn't Joseph amazing? What a guy. And the whole nation sees that God is with Joseph. Isn't that tremendous? Well, it has been a tough time for many of us. But are you in our lives going through loneliness, isolation, uncertain future, being forgotten, badly treated? Are we bitter? Or are we trying to shine like Joseph?